Sometimes life throws you into chaos. Broken systems, broken relationships, trauma, confusion. And with all that going on, you're oftentimes left trying to figure out what clarity even looks like. And as you're going through these things, right? You're waiting for clarity to happen, or at least to try to find a form of understanding. Hopefully, if you wait around long enough, you think something's bound to change, something's bound to happen. But what if clarity isn't something you wait for? What if clarity is something you fight for? Welcome back to Outreach with Reggie, the podcast where we talk about real discussions like this with real people and real solutions. What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Reggie Holloway. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Outreach with Reggie. If you're new here, this podcast is about amplifying voices, exposing broken systems, and finding pathways forwarding for communities that are often overlooked. Today's conversation is powerful because it centers around finding clarity within chaos. But before we jump in, make sure you subscribe, follow, and share this podcast with someone who needs to hear real conversations like this. Yes, be sure to follow the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And if this episode resonates with you, leave a review because that helps this show reach more people. But with that being said, today's episode comes from a conversation I had with Laura Spalle, the host of the Clarity Lens podcast. Laura has been doing powerful work talking about things like neurodivergence, motherhood, trauma, and navigating systems that often fail families. She is also the author of the book, The Power of Clarity, where she dives deep into how people can reclaim their voice and perspective, even in the middle of difficult circumstance. What stood out to me during this conversation wasn't just the challenges she talked about. It was the theme of clarity, because clarity isn't about having a perfect life. Clarity is about understanding who you are and how to move forward, even when everything around you feels chaotic. All righty. Welcome to another episode of Outreach with Reggie. Today, I have a special guest, the host of the Clarity Lens podcast, Laura Spalle. How are you doing, Laura?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
Doing good. Today is a busy day, but a good day, I like to say.
Yeah.
It's a very productive day indeed. First and foremost, I would love to know more about your podcast, or if you could talk a bit about what your podcast is about.
The podcast is going to base around human psychology, biology, sociology, and economics, about how we go in systems. Like, obviously, I'm in insurance and taxes, as you know already, but just systems in general, with education, healthcare, social service systems, and just really going deep into those and why they were built the way they were and how it affects us and our psyche.
Absolutely. Now, what kind of led you into creating your podcast in particular?
Well, I got into insurance and taxes. Well, insurance first a couple years ago, when I was transitioning off a layoff. So that was fun, as we all know. When I got into this space, I knew that there was a lot of terminology and jargon that goes into them. And I wanted to know more because myself, I was confused. I won't lie. But I also noticed as well that there was a lot of fear-based messaging, a lot of ambiguity, ins and outs. And I've always based myself with education and trying to slow things down for everybody. So that's where I saw a need. And I've always been fascinated with human psychology and biology and things of that nature. So I thought, well, here's a good opportunity. Let's break
No,
it down.
absolutely. I have the same, I think about it in the same too, because that's what kind of led me into what I ended up going to school for, or at least got my minor in sociology, because I
Oh,
was
great.
always interested in like why people like things that they like and just the studying of people. And then it turned into group behavior and what does that even mean? And then that kind of led me or branched off into some of the work I do now outside of the podcast. So it's good to, as I learn more about your podcast, it's good to know, like, I believe there's always a why to everything. So it's good to
Absolutely, there is.
learn a bit of your why.
Yeah, and that was a big, huge thing of it, just trying to bring more clarity not only to myself but to other people. And I have a daughter that is autistic, so underserved populations with my previous work in nonprofit has always been a huge motivator for me to help.
Absolutely. Oh, within your nonprofit work, how is that, what do you find to be like the key things that you see that could be changed or that is present that's like interesting and that helps keep your why intact?
I think the biggest thing is there's a lot of information out there, especially now we have access. We literally have a computer in our hands with our phones. But even that, there's still the fear of us making mistakes, especially when things feel permanent, and there's a lot of stake. And when we're overworked in systems, and if we have children that are neurodivergent, like my daughter, it's a lot on your plate.
Yes, it
And you
is.
don't want to feel like you're failing and want to ask for help, even though you probably should be knowing these things. It still doesn't help. It still doesn't make you feel any better. So I think just filling the gap of one, reassuring that you're not making mistakes, you're not behind, and it's not because you feel this way. It's because the systems weren't set up for you. They were never meant to be personal. They were meant to be group wide, because even in early history, insurance and taxes in particular, they were group based. Neighbors and friends would help out each other to make sure that it was a collective experience instead of on your own.
Absolutely. And I would say, because I find myself attempting to navigate the best way I can these systems that are in place, because a big part of what I do outside of the podcast is that I'm a youth advocate within the child welfare system. So within that, it takes a lot of navigating, but a lot of collaborative work within different nonprofits to attempt to attain a goal, that being either within homelessness among youth or transition age youth within the foster care system, educational rights, or educational advocacy, and then just little things like that. So I would love to know how you've been able to navigate within the work that you get a chance to do, with that being either as a parent or even just so, more so just like within taxes and everything like that. What is the, some of the things that you've had to navigate, and how do you handle, sometimes it may be a little extreme, the chaos of navigating it all?
It's a loaded question because there's a lot that
I'm
goes
sorry.
into it. No, it's okay. It's okay. I think the main thing is not only navigating a new system in terms of I came from a background of criminology, nonprofit, and medical staffing, going into a completely different sector of financial systems. So building clarity for myself was educating myself, but even to this day, even as a tax professional and insurance professional, I'm still learning every day. Because new rules change consistently, like from month to month and year to year. So I had to stay vigilant for that, that I can help my community and my daughter. But I think the most particularly difficult one has been with my daughter's autistic tendencies and her programming, because there is very layered.
Yes.
Not only, no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask if you can, if you feel comfortable to, if you can go more into that.
Sure. I mentioned in episode 4 of my podcast, when my daughter was initially diagnosed. I'm sorry, that's my rice cooker in the back. got lunch on the way. When my daughter was initially diagnosed with autism on the educational level, I was in a relationship that was abusive, more psychologically than anything, but even then, that still hurts just as much. And I know listeners, and you probably have worked with people that have been in situations like that. It's extremely difficult.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I was already overloaded emotionally and physically. And when we got the diagnosis, there was more appointments, more terminology, and doctor's appointments, referrals, building her IEP for her education. Just sitting down with the teachers, it was, I knew that their job was there to help me and support us and support her through this, but my mind just could not register at the time because I myself was not regulated. And her father was reluctant to those results, so that made it a little more difficult to put it all together. I think that's the most difficult part was not. I wouldn't. I accepted what was going on. I felt, but I felt autopiloted because everything else in my head couldn't quite get through it to it.
Then, so within that, what were some of the fears that were the loudest in your mind at that time before you was able to make the change or to not only navigate, but to be there in the capacity that you are now for many others who are trying to navigate, that being financial barriers or things like that?
Well, on top of the relationship, I felt it. I was failing as a mother because I didn't notice things right away. There's things that, in terms of her motor development, that we kept track of, but I felt like I should have known better. But as a first-time mom and out of group of friends, I was the first to have a child, so I tried to have myself with a little bit of grace with that. But even then,
Absolutely.
it's the mom guilt, and moms know how that feels when you feel like you're failing your child. But at the same time, I was trying to leave my relationship because I had to question whether if I was teaching my daughter about love correctly, and if those moments that I felt overwhelmed were going to change her psyche that I couldn't change. So that would be that was the most difficult. But I think the most scary part for me was just saying that I failed my relationship and I was being a single parent because there's shame with that. There's a lot of stigma with single mothers and single parents in general, and I just felt like another statistic, to be totally honest with you. And even my ex told me that once I left, he said, and I quote, "No one's going to want a single mother like you."
Very unfortunate to hear. And I, as to be very vulnerable, I do come from a single mother home, and seeing the will and the efforts of what she went through has been an inspirational and inspiring tone of what I get to do now, is seeing the efforts that she was able to do. So there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that your daughter, your child is looking at it from the lens of, I'm noticing what mommy gets to do every day, and I'm seeing the effort that she gets to put into
Absolutely.
helping others and showing up as not only as a mom, but just as a person who's having a real life experience. So if I can offer a sincerity of growth, I'm with you.
Thank
And
you.
I
That
may
means
not
a lot.
understand, but I lend
The empathy is there.
encouragement.
I appreciate that. Yeah. That was, but I finally made the steps to do it. And of course, clarity never really comes full on at one time. It's a series of moments that come together. And I made the step to leave, and that was the best decision I made because not only was it safer for myself and my daughter, it led me to breathe it again and be more confident in myself. And to my ex's point, I am now engaged to a wonderful man.
Hey now.
And so, and
Ah.
I'm not big on revenge, but I think people living their best life is the best way for you just to continue on and to move forward.
Absolutely. So within that, when did you realize something had to change in your life in particular? What was that key moment to like you flip the switch and now everything it starts here and becomes a launching pad up.
Now, those that are in abusive relationships can probably understand where I'm coming from, is that your friends and family will tell you how they feel multiple times. And you will talk to your friends and family about how unsafe you feel, how overstressed you are. And over time, I felt that I was it's like word vomit, you know? I knew that they cared, but it also felt like, and I kind of notated in my podcast episode there, is I felt like I had an expiration date on when I could feel how I felt without them really saying anything else. But so I learned how to kind of stay quiet for a long time and just say I'm okay when I really wasn't. I just learned how to self-regulate, even though I definitely was not regulated. It's that appearance that was a difficult part. Even on the days that nothing remotely would have happened or he never said anything, I still felt like I was walking on eggshells around him. But I think the moment that really did it for me was my friend, and I'm still with friends to this day. She noted to me, she basically told me, listen, I love you, but I can't continue to be watching you make mistakes like this and not stand up for yourself because you know how strong you are. And I said, she's like, I will not continue to enable you. That sucked hearing all of that because, but that's the harsh reality though. It was the tough love that I needed to move forward. So I knew that I was intelligent and capable throughout my life. I knew I could navigate things before. I've gone through grief and job losses and everything else, but this is where I felt like, why couldn't I just leave? But that did it for me. And not only that, but she and her now husband and a few other friends, we packed up while he was gone. So I didn't have any excuses anymore. So I ultimately will always thank her for that.
Absolutely. And as you are into a new practice or into now engaged or married, is it?
Engaged.
Now that you're into a much healthier relationship, what are things that you can now learn as the healing journey is continuing? What are things that you were able to take in now or that provide clarity? And a second part to that is, do you believe clarity is something that you find immediately along the way or something that is built?
So things I can do now is, even if I'm overstressed, because I mean, we all get overstimulated with life, I have time to breathe and slow down and think about things more rationally. And I have a partner that now helps me rationalize those things, even if I do want to explode a little bit, because we all do it. And I'm able to just think more clearly. Because before I was thinking on survival. And now I know that life is more than that. And that life is
Absolutely.
lighter. Even though there are outside factors that are always going to affect our lives, it helps to have a home and a space and a partner that's there to support you. That's the biggest thing for me. And I love him for that more than anything in the world. He's an amazing
Yes,
person.
indeed.
But as for your second question, I believe personally clarity arrives in moments over time. And they come with hard moments, easy ones, and moments of distress, and then moments that you feel safe. It's an accumulation to make steps because clarity is about understanding, but also believing in yourself to understand the things. Being confident in yourself and bringing it back to the surface. So essentially, it's not an easy thing. It's not perfect. It never really is. And it doesn't have to always arrive with confidence, but just making that next step.
Absolutely. Now, I'm pretty sure through the listeners that are listening or people who are watching, they are either being met with with unclarity regarding their situation, in the clarity of it, of their situation, in it where they're trying to figure things out right now, or even for some, they're now exiting a situation as to where finally they can breathe again, but they're taking the first step, maybe uncertain on how to do so.
Sure.
What can you say about that, given your experience?
Well, given my experience, if you're uncertain and knowing the unknown, the first thing you need to know is that you're not behind. You're just human. We're all human, and your feelings are valid. And it's okay, and you're not weak for wanting time to have space to understand it. And it's also not a flaw for you to want help. But to be fair, like for taxes and insurance, for example, there's a lot of things that are going to be thrown at you that you don't want to, you'll just kind of nod and be like, okay, that makes sense. But really, it doesn't click with you. It's okay to ask for help. That's why, particularly with my business in particular, I make guides to help people with terminology, jargon, and real life examples for to break it down. I completed one for life insurance and for taxes, and I'm working on a property and casualty right now. And I'm working other types of guides and situations that will help break those things down. And the podcast itself is going to just really dive into other things about life, not just insurance and taxes, but like I said, education, motherhood, because that motherhood's a huge one in terms of trying to figure it out, clarity, but grief and personal struggles that we see in life.
Absolutely.
But
I'm
just, I
watching the
think,
clock. What was that?
no, go ahead. I think one last thing. Sorry, I don't want to,
No,
but
it's okay.
to also take a breath. Like I said, just at the end of my podcast, I try to do this and be like, just take a moment.
Absolutely. I was looking at the recording. I'm still understanding Zoom, so that's why I was like, ooh, I hope. Like she's saying a lot of amazing stuff, and I hate if like it just says bloop, and then it's like, oh great, and
I've
then
done that before, trust me. So.
but it looks like it's still recording, so we're good. Is there any golden nuggets or anything that I didn't ask that maybe you would like the listeners or the viewers to know?
Aside from what I said with advice, well, I won't say advice, that's just how it is. Yeah, just basically, like I said, just it's okay to ask for help and it's okay to not be okay. These systems
Absolutely.
that we see today, not just in insurance and taxes, but education, if you have dependents or family members that are neurodivergent or disabled, anything like that, these systems weren't made for you. And you're not behind. It's they were the systems were made in a linear way. And if you're outside of that, it's just not there. So I want to advocate to increase these systems to expand to outside communities, especially for people like my daughter who are going to need support. And even just regular people like me, because there are days where, even when I'm just as a professional, when the new tax codes and laws and policy updates through insurance, I'm just like, more? There's more? Of course there is. So just remaining vigilant for that. But like I said, the biggest thing is you're not behind and you're just human. And it's okay.
Absolutely. Now that I see that I have a little bit more time, I could ask, I guess, two more, a few more
Yeah,
questions.
sure, absolutely. Happy to answer.
As it is, I want to say International Women's Month.
It is. Yes, it is.
What does it mean to be able to, because I'm sure that as the podcast grows, or if you haven't been told already, your story is going to mean a lot to many people who you either will have, well, I'm sure you will have an opportunity to meet, but those who you would reach. What does that mean to you, especially within this month?
It means the world, honestly. There's so many stories just like mine, that just realize how strength is really about. Because strength back then for me was just survival. Each day, just waking up, trying to make it through. But I know now that strength is about safety and clarity. And hearing the voices of other women, along with that, it just warms my heart. Even if they are having a hard time getting out of the situation, just listening to others, I think, can help point them in the right direction. That's the first step of clarity, is listening and hearing people out too.
Yes. And lastly, what are some resources out there for many mothers or parents or just anybody out there navigating this current time as we're going through tax season, or even just being human that you found to work?
I found, I know that the IRS government website can be a very overstimulating and it's a lot of information, but there are some good trinkets in there to kind of break down some material. Those that are navigating neurodivergency, like with my daughter for advocacy, reaching out to local ADA therapies, even with your educational, if they have an IEP, talking with your teachers and speech pathologies and everything like that can help. But ultimately, it does obviously vary by state and state basis. But just for me, like with my clients and other people around me, building the resources that I have and continuing to make more is another thing that's been helping me.
Oh,
So
perfect.
it's and it's okay. And there's other great resources. I have it on my business website as well for both insurance and taxes for both. If you're more of an analytical person like me, there's the data points and things like that. But if you're more of just like a anal or a visual person, then there's other options there as well. So I like to add the resources, and I'm always going to continue to add on.
Perfect. With that being said, I thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Well, thanks
I'm
for having
so happy.
me.
Absolutely. And if you could share who you are once again and your information about your podcast and everything that you're doing, I'll give the floor to you.
Well, thanks again for having me, Reggie. It was a pleasure. Again, my name is Laura Spala. It's okay. I've been called Spale my whole life, so
I'm so
don't
sorry.
even trip. Trust me, if my friends don't call me Spale, it's something's weird. Sure. So I'm the host of the Clarity Lens podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere that you enjoy your podcast. I'm going to be on episode 7 this week, so tune in for that. I also have my book, The Power of Clair The Quiet Power of Clarity, on Amazon and Kindle for your leisure. So you're more than welcome to jump in there. If you have any questions, I also have a social media page, with my Facebook with the same name as you see. You can also DM me for anything that you need, especially with resources and questions. So that is all I'm about.
Alrighty, thank you so much
Oh,
for
and
your time.
I forgot to do one last thing. I also have a Substack. If you'd like to read articles, I post a lot of articles about neurodivergency as motherhood and even clarity as well. So always have something there for you. I almost forgot about that.
Oh, all this, hey, it's very important, so I'm happy you included it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Reggie. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you for yours. All right. One thing I realized in my own life is that chaos has a way of forcing you to confront the truth. Whether it's systems that fail people, whether it's trauma from the past, whether it's relationships that fall apart, chaos strips away the illusion of control, but it also creates an opportunity for clarity. And clarity can show up in different ways. Clarity about who you are. Clarity about what you deserve. Clarity about the systems that need to change. Clarity about purpose, about your purpose. Because for many people, especially people navigating trauma, neurodivergence, or broken systems, clarity does not come easy, as you've seen within this interview. And listened. Sometimes clarity, oftentimes enough, comes after pain. Sometimes clarity comes after surviving something that should have never happened in the first place. But once clarity shows up, something tends to shift in that way. You start moving differently. And one thing that really stood out in this conversation is how many people are navigating systems that were never designed with them in mind. When we talk about these systems, we talk about systems that look like education, healthcare, child welfare, and overall mental health systems. And for families navigating neurodivergence, autism, trauma, or abuse, the system can often sometimes create more confusion instead of clarity. But conversations like the ones that were had within this interview are important because they help people realize that they're not alone. And when people start sharing their stories, something powerful happens. The chaos becomes visible. And once something becomes visible, it becomes harder for people to ignore. So, as we move forward, the real question becomes, how do you move forward when life has been, excuse me, chaotic? Because clarity does not mean chaos disappears overnight. Clarity does give you this beautiful thing called direction. And within finding a sense of direction, you were able to have direction to advocate for yourself, to advocate for others, and direction to challenge systems that need change. And sometimes clarity simply means understanding your story enough to tell it. So, if this conversation today, if this episode today has resonated with you, I want you to do two things. First, share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. And second, follow the podcast because we're continuing to bring conversations like this to the forefront. If you want to learn more about Laura's work, as we thank Laura Spale of the Clarity Lens podcast, if you want to learn more about her work, you can check out her podcast, the Clarity Lens podcast. And also be sure to buy her book, The Power of Clarity, which is available online. She also writes about neurodivergence, motherhood, and finding clarity through life's challenges. But as we wrap up today's episode, we must remind ourselves that at the end of the day, clarity is powerful. Clarity helps people reclaim their voice. Clarity helps people challenge broken systems. And clarity helps people move forward, even when life has been chaotic. So I thank you for listening to another episode of Outreach with Reggie. And remember, sometimes the chaos isn't the end of the story. Sometimes chaos is what leads you to clarity. Make sure you follow Outreach with Reggie on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Leave a review, share the episode, and stay tuned for more conversations that amplify voices and create change.